If you'll turn John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8, this is continuing what faith says, and what faith says is he is in us. He is in us. And it also says, faith says that we can do it. So what can we do? Well, whatever God has called us to. Amen? Now, I don't think that I can do everything, but one thing that I do know is whatever he has called me to, I can do that. Isn't that awesome? Whatever circumstances come my way, I can be victorious over them because of who he is in my life. And looking at Philippians, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Whatever process he takes me through, whatever obstacles that come before me, I can gain victory. And so faith is teaching us that there's a better way. And Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, we'll just start off with this one today, because this has been a theme that we're running through. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we're learning that whenever we do not exercise faith, we stay limited to our natural eyes and what our natural eyes can see, what our natural mind can understand. And that's not much, to be honest with you, okay? And what our feelings are dictating to us. We have to live according to all of that. And when we don't exercise faith, we become reactionary to everything instead of proactive and paving a way, a new way, a different way. If you're always reacting to whatever life is going on in you, then you're missing what God has for us. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said it this way. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the goal that God has for our lives, is that we be a people who are free. Now, most people want to be free, okay? I don't know that I've ever met somebody who doesn't want to be free. Most people want to be free, but here's the problem. Very few people want to do what it takes to become free. See, they just want to receive Jesus, and they just want to say, okay, now, Jesus, here I am. I'm yours. I gave myself to you. Set me free. And he says, okay, I'm glad that you're mine. Abide in my word. And we say, well, I don't want to abide in the word. It takes time. It's going to take effort. And he says, but that's the way to freedom. Oh. So we have to decide. And it's as we get into his word that we find out that there's someone greater in us who is always going to provide that victory for us. Okay? And that someone greater is Jesus, and that's 1 John 4:4. Now look, these are all scriptures that we've looked at. I even cut some out, even though I didn't really want to, but time-wise I did. But we're going to kind of put it all together in a conversation that we're going to have with God. A conversation you've had with God, that I know you've had with God. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Overcome who? Who is them? Whatever comes your way, you've overcome them. Whatever obstacles, whatever the enemy throws, whatever somebody else throws at you, it doesn't matter. We've overcome them. For, and this is the reason why he can declare this, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, do we believe that? If we believe it, then we should be doing things differently. We should be overcoming things. And then last week we looked at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And this is how we fight the good fight of faith. This is what faith says. I may not be able to. I may not be able to do it in my own strength and in my own natural abilities. But I can and I will by the power of God who is in me. That's what faith says. Maybe in the natural you can't, but you know what? By the Spirit of God, by Christ who's living in you, by the power of the Word of God who is in us, we can get through this. We will make it through. And remember, as Paul's writing this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says that while he's in prison. And so he has a different attitude than probably everybody else does in that prison, because he understands who's living inside of him. Now, and what faith says. Now, faith is not easy, because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? But see, we just have this sense of ease that we want it to be easy, but it's not. And so if we're going to become free, if we're going to walk in the victory that God has for us, then we're going to have to put forth some effort. Now, I started this with the understanding that we're going to talk about who's in us. And we'll look at this some more, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says this to Timothy: "For God gave us a spirit not of fear," everybody say, "not of fear," "but of power and love and self-control." Isn't that awesome? In the NIV, it reads like this, 2 Timothy 1:7 in the NIV, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." Have you ever seen a timid person? That's not from God. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." And so he's inside of us. That's who's living inside of us. And I just want to encourage, we a lot of times deal with power and love, but how about self-control or self-discipline? Because we need that in the body of Christ, so that we're not tossed to and fro, that everything that comes our way doesn't throw us off course. I mean, it's amazing how many believers allow that to happen to them. And if we understand that he's in us, then this truth enables us to fight the good fight of faith, to be free, to allow God's greatness to be demonstrated in our lives. And I'm trusting that we want that for all of our lives. And so I want to go back to 1 Timothy 6:12 that we've looked at. 1 Timothy 6:12, and he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So God has placed his spirit in us, his spirit of love and of power and self-control. And it's by the Spirit of God who's living in us, by the power of God who's living in us, by the self-control that the Holy Spirit develops in us, okay? He's living in us, enabling us to take hold of, he says, the eternal life, but just think about this. He's in us, and he's enabling us to take hold of the eternal life, of the life of godliness that God desires for us to walk in while we're down here. You don't need to take hold of it when you get to heaven, okay? We need to take hold of it now. When things aren't going our way, we can still be a people of peace, be a people of joy, be a people of strength, because we know that God is in us. And it's not about just surviving to the next day, but it's bringing heaven down to earth. That's what he's talking about here. And then Philippians 3:12, we've looked at this as well. Philippians 3:12. And he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on." And you know, I just want to encourage you, parents, if you don't teach your children self-control and self-discipline, they're never going to know how to press on. So there's things in the natural that God wants us to learn when we're young, so that when we become spiritual and our eyes are awakened, we can do this. He says, "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." I want you to try this in your driveway. Don't try it on the road. Okay? I want you in your driveway to be looking backwards but driving forward. And don't hit your house or your garage. Okay? There's so many people, so many Christians that I know that keep looking backwards. And because they keep looking backwards, they don't even know what's in front of them. Paul says this. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead. And so he's saying that there's something greater that's before us, but if we keep looking back, we're never going to be able to see what's before us. We can't walk that way. We can't drive that way. And then verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And every time I read this, and, you know, we've been looking at it lately a lot, but every time I read this particular verse, I keep thinking about how he promises to pull us up out of the pit, the miry pit, the pit of destruction, the pit of self-pity and everything else. And he said, you know what? If we'll press on, we'll get a hold of the upward call of God that he has for our lives. And, you know, when we realize that the Holy Spirit is in us, then he enables us to be able to press on to take hold of Jesus, to press on and take hold of all that God has for us, knowing that his Spirit is in us and greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. He's in us. Everybody say that. He's in me. Say that with me. He's in me. Say it again because y'all didn't even sound like you heard me. Thank you. That was much better. So because he's in us, yes, we can do it. Okay? Say it with me. Yes, I can do it. Say this with me. Yes, I can do it. Because he's in me, and greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. So yes, I'm going to do it. All right, great. That was awesome. So here's how it works. We're going to put all of this together. Now, I'm going to pick one subject that we're going to deal with today, but I want you to know this works for any subject that you're struggling with. If you need this for finances, if you need this for forgiveness, or you need this for peace, you know, it's a heavy theme this week and or this morning. Whatever you have need of, if you will get into God's word and put this into practice, then you can do it. Because Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. So we're going to look at, and this is one that we all struggle with. We all need this, so that's why it's like, you know, it's going to help us all. There are people in our lives that God wants us to love that we don't want to love. Okay? And so we know that, and then we see all of this, and we come across the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so then, because Christ is in us, he begins to stir in us, and he says to us, you know, you really can love them. And we say, no, I can't. And he says, yes, we can. And we say, no, we can't. And he says, yes, we, everybody say we, can. And then we say, no, I can't. But if you want to love them, you just go right ahead because you're saying that we can do this. You just go ahead and love them. I'll watch. And he says, yes, we can do this because I love them. And we say, then you go right ahead and love them like we just said, but without me. And he says, but I'm in you, and I want you to love them like I love them. And we say, no, I can't. And he says, yes, we can. Because remember, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to bring to remembrance the things that we need. So he says to us, yes, we can. Because remember, greater is he. And then he puts in parentheses, by the way, that's me. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And remember, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so because I am in you and you are in me, you can love them, and I will give you the strength to do what is right and to love them. And then you start getting a little nervous because you're thinking to yourself, I think I'm losing this battle. But we don't really say anything because we're still on the fence and we're not sure if we're going to commit to this loving stuff, because we start thinking about the people that he wants us to love and we find out we don't like them. And then to get out of it, we start rationalizing this and we say, you know, I think maybe those thoughts are coming from the enemy. God wouldn't make me love somebody that I don't like, that I'm not capable of on my own strength. So there's no way this could be God. It must be either the enemy or maybe the pizza that I ate last night. You know, we always blame it on the pizza. Why not the hamburger? Why does it always have to be pizza? So while we're on the fence and riding the fence and not willing to commit, then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and stir us up again. And so he says to us, you can do this. Remember what 1 John 4:19 says? And we say, no. And I'm not going to look it up either. And he says, it's okay. I know what it says. And so he tells us what it says. 1 John 4:14 says, we love because he first loved us. Now go and love them as I have loved you. And so we finally give in and we say, okay, I'll go love them. And we don't really mean it, but we know that we're getting between a rock and a hard place with God, and we're not winning this battle. And so then we come to the conclusion that, well, and we say this to God, well, God, you know, I'm willing to love them, but there's only one problem. I don't know how to love them, and I don't know what to do that would demonstrate that I love them. So as much as I would like to love them, I don't know how and I don't know what to do to love them. So you must have to find somebody else. How's the conversation? You had it before? All right, you're not going to admit to it. And so we think we have God on the hook and that he's going to have to go find somebody else. And then he says to us, hey, you know, remember what James says about this? And we say, James who? And he says, James, my brother. And he says, James talks about wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, you can ask me and I'll give it to you. And when I give it to you, it won't be in a condemning way or in a put-down manner. It'll just be between you and me, and then you will know how and in what ways to love them. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm speaking of James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And we say, oh my, I'm really losing this battle. And he says, no, you're not losing this battle. You're beginning to win this battle. And we say, how am I winning? Because you, God, you are making me love these people. And I don't want to love them, but you are making me love them. And he says, here's the good news, pay attention to this. You are winning because you told me you want it to be just like me. And now I'm giving you the opportunity to be just like me. And now you are going to choose to love them. And because you are choosing to love them, you are becoming more and more like me and my greatness. And my greatness that is in you is finally going to come out of you. And we're not really liking that. And so we say, yeah, but I don't like being squeezed or pressured into loving somebody. And he says, yes, I know. No one does at first. But look at how beautiful it is when you are squeezed and pressured and I flow out of you. And then he says, hey, one more thing I want to remind you of, since we are talking about wisdom. And we say, well, I didn't think we were talking about wisdom anymore. And he says, well, since we're on the subject, let's go ahead and talk about it some more. He says, James talks about wisdom, but he also talks about what the wisdom from heaven looks like. So let's look at what James says about the wisdom from above. This will really help you have a loving attitude. He says, James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And we say, never heard of anything like that before. And he says, I have. And then he throws in a promise in verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And then he continues to speak to us. And he says, isn't this exciting? We are about to, and then he says, no, make that you are about to reveal me to the world by the love that you have for people, my people. And you're going to reveal it with the wisdom from above, the wisdom that I give you. It's going to be displayed upon them while you love them. Remember, we are doing this together, me in you and you in me. And by this time, we're exhausted. We realize that we've lost the battle, but we're winning the war. We're winning the war of our attitude. We're winning the war of living by our feelings and living by our own understanding, living by what our own eyes see. We're choosing to become more and more like Him. And so we declare to ourselves and to God and to the world and to the enemy, what a wonderful attitude I have. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. So we've come to the conclusion after our conversation with God that yes, indeed, we can love people because He has loved us. And the end of the story is, we're not quite there yet, but because we have one more thing to do, but it's really the end. They live happily ever after together. Not, I'm talking about us and God. Because we've done what He's asked us to do. We've done it with a great attitude. He's been manifested in us. He's changed us. And we've changed somebody else by loving them because He first loved us. And then, as they're living happily ever after, God stirs one more time. And He says, hey, let's remember together. Let's do it by sharing communion so that you can remember how much I love you. And then you will go out and love others. And we say, wow, God, I can't believe you were thinking that. Because I was thinking the exact same thing, that we should have communion. Because then I will remember how you love me, and I will remember that's how I'm supposed to love others. I can't believe you came up with that idea. That's such a great idea. Let's have communion. So with that said, we're going to have communion.